Recognize that? Yep, it's the sound of people cheering. Now, why are they cheering? Because finally, caregivers can travel. Even if you have caregiving responsibilities, or even if you are the care recipient and have a little mild dementia, and you want to travel, there's somebody out there who can help you. Because today we continue our caregiver series with Dr. Carol Sargent of Sargent Consulting Group. On this rarely discussed topic, it is so important. Thank you for joining us on The Ageless Traveler. We're dedicated to making lifelong travel easy so you never stop traveling. I'm your host, Adrienne Berg. Just sit back and relax. All the resources we discuss are on our show notes on agelesstraveler.com. And while you're on that site, click join our Facebook salon and get the support you need to never stop traveling. Hello, everybody. And as you heard, we are tackling a very important travel issue today. And we are doing so with somebody who has taken leadership, not only here in the United States, but in her home country of England, with regard to respite travel, meaning caregivers who are really concerned about travel. They love to travel, but they're curtailing their travel because they have somebody at home or in some sort of a residency that they're responsible for as a caregiver, or people who themselves have early onset Alzheimer's or other issues, or traveling with somebody that has a disability and it may be cognitive rather than physical. So you think it can't be done? You're absolutely wrong, because we have Dr. Carol Sargent here who's going to tell you all about it. She is, of course, the leader, the creator of Sargent Group Consulting and a member of the Ageless Traveler Advisory Board. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Adrienne. It's lovely to have the opportunity to chat about something that I am passionate about and want more people to get out there and enjoy everything travel can give to all of us.
Well, of course, there are three categories here. The person who is a caregiver, the person who has care needs and is traveling with their caregiver, and last, the miracle that you have created with Sargent Group Consulting, and that is the ability for somebody with dementia to travel on their own. But the biggest category by far, particularly for our age group, is the caregiver. Now, I want to unpack the word respite care. What it means to me, and I want you to tell me about this, is that people are working so diligently as caregivers that they need a break. See, to me, respite means a break. But that kind of means that after that, they have to figure out another break. Is that the way caregivers today are actually looking at travel?
The organization that I founded to take people with dementia on holiday, the first holiday we ran, there were a couple who subsequently came on, I think it was 7 holidays with us. And every time they got home, Pat, who was the wife of her husband, Keith, with dementia, was counting down to come away on that next holiday where they could both enjoy other people's company, new experiences, and have really quality time together without all of those day-to-day things that stop you taking time out and just enjoying life.
So what do you do, though? You're a caregiver. Perhaps somebody, mom or dad, are actually living in your home. What do you do to prepare them so that you can go separately travel? Is there something that you would recommend beyond what we might think about, you know, get another caregiver, which sometimes mom and dad don't want? Is there anything special you can do so that you feel more free in your own travels?
So to me, it's the opportunity to go away together is the important thing, but to really think about what is it that's stopping you going away? Because clearly, you know, based on your question, there isn't a confidence to just book that holiday and enjoy time together. So it's really unpicking what are the worries the caregiver has? What are the worries of the person that they're caring for? Because often those can be quite different. And in having a discussion around those things and identifying the different solutions that people could choose to take and the sorts of risks that people want to take, then for me, there's still a holiday for everybody, really. You know, we've taken, you know, here in the UK, people at all stages in their dementia journey. And, you know, we've taken people who are in care homes. But I wouldn't say it's the right thing for everybody who's in a care home living with dementia to go on holiday. But it's not out of scope. It's really what people want to do and taking positive risks. You know, that's what I think it's about. And often when you're caring for somebody, there isn't the headspace to think about how could I overcome that problem. And I think the other thing that, you know, I noticed initially when, you know, my dad was supporting my mum with dementia, it can be really hard to put yourself in the place when, you know, the worst happens and think about those solutions. You focus on when things are good. But I think sometimes you have to think of those difficult situations, discuss them with people and find ways that you can travel with confidence.
Confidence and comfort. So let's go to the miracle part of what you do. And that is the person who has dementia. And that is the person that wants to travel, right? Now, let's say that they have early onset Alzheimer's. They can travel. They don't have physical issues. They come to you. They say, how can I do this? And I'll give you a real story. We're going to Portugal and people on the group are in our hiking club. They're very, very healthy, very robust people. But one of them had a friend who did go to an airport on her own with early onset dementia, Alzheimer's. And she said, I'll never do it again. I'm so confused. I can't handle the confusion. So somebody like that comes to you. What do you ask them? What's the protocol that you apply so they can travel?
So it's, first of all, asking them, what was it in that experience in the airport that, you know, made them decide they don't want to do it again? And identify, based on, you know, the individual's concerns, what solutions you could put in place. You know, it could be, for example, thinking about traveling from a different airport that's not as busy. It could be picking a flight time that's where it's quieter. It can be linking in with the airport to find out what assistance is available at the airport. So, for example, if you have, you know, dementia or any other hidden disability, there's the opportunity to go through the express security without any extra charge. And if you really feel it's too daunting for you to travel through that airport, but when you get to the other end, you're, you know, completely comfortable because it's somewhere you're familiar with, or you are perhaps meeting somebody, then you can see about getting a companion who can travel along with you. And that doesn't necessarily need to cost a huge amount. You know, there are organisations who actually link up and train people who love to travel to be companions. So, you know, both the individual with dementia and their companion are getting a benefit out of supporting, you know, one person to navigate the airport and the other person to travel to somewhere that they want to visit.
This is great. And, you know, everybody should know that we put all of our resources in our show notes. So don't forget that these organizations that Carol Sargent is mentioning will be in our show notes and accompanying article. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to Portugal. So don't you guys go anywhere, because we're going to be going there in May from the 11th to the 24th. A fabulous trip. Let's hear all about it. Come with us to Portugal May 2024. You know, my mouth is watering as I read the Colette brochure for our May 11th to 24th trip to Portugal and the Azores. I can't wait to revisit Lisbon with you and show you its hidden museums, sip red wine, munch olives, and listen to the fado music. You know, that's a UNESCO heritage experience, but we're also going to bathe in the beauty of the Azores, peer down volcanic craters, stroll in the Terra Nostra Botanic Park. Now, come travel with us, and if you've got a group with 10 or more, or you're a nonprofit organization, discover the benefits of our group programs at Ageless Traveler, featured trips, and group trips. Don't forget, this is the kind of travel that will allow you to never stop traveling. And now we are back, and we're here with Carol Sargent, and we're speaking about a very difficult topic that very few people actually engage in. And that is, what do you do if you're a caregiver and you want to travel? What do you do if you are the one who's receiving care, and particularly cognitive issues like dementia, like Alzheimer's? Can you still travel on your own to some degree? And finally, what if two people are traveling together? So, Carol, thank you so much. First of all, tell everybody where they can find you. Carol is on our advisory board. She's in the UK. Give us your website.
So my website is sargentgroup.consulting. No .co.uk or anything like that. It's .consulting. And you can find out more about the services that we provide.
Now, let's take a look at those services for person who's a caregiver and also a care needer. And you talked about your own mom and dad in this particular case. So let's take that. Let's take the older couple, right? And one of them is alert. Maybe they have the usual arthritis that we all have or a little diabetes. We have to watch our culinary issues. And that's really the ageless traveler. That's the essence of the ageless traveler, somebody who's in very good health, but has a couple of little issues that they want to address. But now, for the first time in a marriage or in a very close relationship, two friends, one of them has gotten a diagnosis. And every year, Carol, the year they travel and they don't want to stop. And again, yep, they come to you and they say, I'm going to Tenerife. I'm going to pick this because I'm actually going to Tenerife. And it's someplace that a lot of British people go. So probably you got that. What do you do to make sure that this works out under these new circumstances?
So I have a whole series of questions that I would ask, but those are first and foremost about what kind of holiday the individuals want, why they're going on holiday, what their interests are, you know, what they want to get from their holiday.
That would be any kind of holiday, exactly the way it would normally go. Okay, so we've got that.
Exactly.
And you know, you got the answer. Now what do you do?
Yeah. So then it's starting to have that discussion about, okay, so why are you worried about going to Tenerife? What are the things that, you know, are raising some alarm bells, making you feel uncomfortable? What might have been on your last holiday that made you feel a bit cautious? And starting to have a discussion and really finding out what people identify as the risks that they could encounter, and having identified those things, you know, based on taking, you know, lots and lots of people living with dementia, and I have lots of different solutions to particular concerns people have. And we would start to discuss around those particular ones. And, you know, starting off with probably things that people are more comfortable about speaking about, and then progressing the discussion in the way you would if you're trying to support anybody in giving advice in a different, you know, in any topic, to really understand what is the real problem. Because generally what people start with won't be the real issue that's making them thinking, oh, I'd love to go, but can I? Yeah. So that's the approach. And at the end of that discussion, then we would provide an outline of what we would recommend as, you know, is Lanzarote the right place to go? Again, if we didn't think it was, we would highlight perhaps an alternative suggestion. And we'd also make a recommendation on what the most appropriate travel to consider. And then I think, you know, the other thing, depending on the support needs individuals may have, you know, do they need some level of support?
Do they need a caregiver with them? Yes, somebody to go with them.
I know when, you know, we were chatting in the launch, you were mentioning about the power of getting a local driver to come with you and, you know, take you round, and you learnt along the way. So there's all sorts of different options, and, you know, there are organisations that can provide companions or organisations that can provide care if that's what's needed. But it's recognising, you know, it can be a lot of fun with another companion or not for people, but, you know, it's having those discussions so people realise what they need in their, you know, in their suitcase to have that holiday that they want.
You know, you mentioned something intriguing. You said people start with one issue, they tell you, and then as you talk, you find that really there's something else behind it. So what are the two or three or four issues that are usually the real things that are bothering people in your experience of speaking to so many of them and helping so many of them?
So I'd say top of the list, worries about incontinence. That is absolutely the issue. And that's not something specific to dementia. I would say that's something specific to a lot of older adults. But from my perspective, there are so many different approaches you can take should that happen. There are different equipment you can use. For a gentleman, you know, long distance, wear a sheath for when they're doing a Grand Prix racing or whatever. You know, there are different things that you can investigate and try. There are requests you can make of the provider you're staying with. One of the things we used to find was, you know, if somebody was using incontinence pads, more often than not, two-thirds of their suitcase was full of incontinence pads, just in case. And, you know, when we realised this, we said, look, that if you do need incontinence pads, let us know the name and the brand. We'll make sure it's at the destination when you arrive and you don't have to worry about, you know, carrying all that extra luggage. So that would be, you know, number one, in without a shadow of a doubt.
So let me tell you a funny little story about that. For those of you who don't know, I used to be an elder law attorney. That was my original background, and I still have some clients. And they are all in assisted living communities in different parts of the Northeast. So one of them is very cognitively fit, more than me, I'll tell you. He's amazing. But he doesn't travel. And he got a small operation that helped his mobility enormously. He's more mobile now than he was 4 years ago. And I said, you want to travel? And he shared with me just what you said. I can't. I have to go. I have to be near a bathroom. And of course, there are apps in different areas that tell you where the bathrooms are and so on. But that's not good enough for this. And when I said to him, well, you know, there are ways of actually having incontinency pads that don't weigh a ton. He just lit up. So it could be something as small as that. But who talks about it? Only here on the Ageless Traveler do we talk about it. Now, before we come back, I want to get to that second issue that you mentioned, but we're going to take a little bit of a break because we have something special for you guys. And that is a way for you to bring your luggage with you. If you do need more pills or even equipment, I have to tell you, full disclosure, I take a blood pressure cuff with me. It's heavy. So how do I get my luggage? I'll tell you how, and don't you go anywhere. If you take long trips or travel through different climate zones the way I do, you don't want to schlep a lot of luggage. Well, luggage-free ships to many of the hotels in the world and mostly all the cruise ships. I've been recommending luggage-free for years to my friends and family, and I always hear the best rave reviews. So you visit agelesstraveler.com products and services to access luggage-free, get all the information, and stop schlepping. Okay, so now we're back. We're back with Carol Sargent, Dr. Carol Sargent. We'll tell you where that doctor comes from in a minute. But we were talking about the things that people bring up to her as their barriers. And she was about to give us a second one. We had incontinency on the list of one. But this is the second one. What's the next one online, let's say, that you can help us overcome?
So I think that the second one is, what if something goes wrong? What do I do? That is the second one, and probably is the biggest overall one. But, you know, the incontinence one is the one that stops
that nobody
you
wants to talk about, right? That stops you, but nobody wants to talk about.
Exactly. So it's what if something goes wrong? And again, you know, it's understanding, well, what, you know, there's lots of things that can go wrong on holiday, and we'd all respond and react to those things in different ways. Certain situations, some of us would be comfortable in dealing with them, others we wouldn't. So it's finding out about what those situations are that, you know, people feel they really couldn't deal with at all. And then it's a case of, you know, putting in place what, you know, emergency plan is, you know, working that out. And, you know, doing some investigations. If you want to make sure, for example, thinking about dementia, you know, having a certain kind of snack can be something that's really important for somebody. And, you know, if, you know, you run out of a particular biscuit, a particular cookie, where is that late night supermarket? Yeah. In the UK now, we don't have many of those, so it's not that easy. So knowing where you can get that cookie at any time removes that worry. You've already planned for that situation. So to me, it's something you can take the time and ask the accommodation you're going to, the travel company that you may be, you know, going on holiday with. You know, they can provide you details, for example, of if there's a medical emergency.
Parents do this all the time. Parents do it all the time without shame and without worry. My little boy, he's 40, but when he was 4 months, we discovered that he could not have milk, and we wanted to go to Canada. And we went to Canada with him when he was about 6 months old, and we knew where the goat farms were. We actually took a trip around the goat farms because he needed fresh goat milk. Seems like it would be impossible to travel under those circumstances. But when it's parents, it's fun. When it's the older adult and it's a caregiver, there's just so much heaviness to it that you don't think about it that way. And that's what we would like to change here, honestly, at the Ageless Traveler. So let's go back. You said something very important, which is, what if something goes wrong? I personally always know where the hospitals are. And I personally have been to about 5 or 6 hospitals in other countries. And my friends have traveled a lot. They tend to break their bones because they're so busy taking pictures that they fall. So they all know. And what it costs and whether their insurance covers it. So that is something really simple that everybody should do. Know where the good health care is. And I'm just wondering, Carol, you talked about the idea of using concierge services and having people pre-plan. How responsive is the hospitality industry with regard to this? I know you're always on committees and talking to people in the industry. Are you finding them interested in this, or is it just such a headache for them that they're not stepping up to the plate?
I would say, well, this afternoon, for example, I visited a fantastic who couldn't do enough for their customers, who had additional things that they needed to really enjoy themselves. And I think it's something that's changing. I think more often than not, it's that people are afraid to ask, particularly if it's something that they feel awkward about and are uncomfortable about the response they may get. So my view is, most places, if you ask, will do their utmost to help.
If somebody comes to you and says, I would like to travel on my own, I have early onset dementia, I don't want to stop traveling, or they're with a companion, what trips have really been stellar where people wrote back to you or called you back and said, this is great, this is where we should go?
Do you know, this is a strange answer, But actually, there isn't one place, there isn't one type of holiday. It is the fact that they've gone and they've done that holiday when they've been uncertain, when they have that support in place. And, you know, some of the lovely ones, you know, when I wrote about what we were going to do with our specialist dementia holidays, one of the things I wrote about was a son or a daughter taking mum or dad on holiday and that giving them the self-confidence to go away on holiday. And we had a young lady who took her dad specifically to Norfolk because he had been stationed there when he was doing his army training. And she and her partner took her dad on holiday with us. And after those 4 nights, she said, "That's wonderful. I have the confidence to take my dad away wherever he wants to go." And that's the thing. And that's because we had all the emergency things. If anything happened, people were aware of that. And we asked all the different questions of people that sometimes not comfortable in asking, you know, answering yourself or asking. Yeah.
So now we've been saying Dr. Carol Sargent. Tell everybody where that doctor comes from. It's really fascinating, the transition you made in life.
Yes, yeah. I never expected that I would be doing this, that's for sure. I'm a scientist. My PhD was in omega-3 fatty acids and heart disease. And after doing my PhD and meeting my husband while I was doing that, we both went to the US. And stayed in New Jersey and worked for some drug companies. You know, I learned a huge amount as a scientist who was lucky to take a project forward into clinical trials and work with all sorts of business people. And yes, as I progressed this project into big clinical trials, and my project group were in the States, so I used to visit once a month. My mum was diagnosed with dementia. And then a couple of years later, my mother-in-law was diagnosed with dementia. And that really turned my whole personal and professional life on its head. And I realized that because dementia is an umbrella term for lots of diseases, you know, there's not going to be a magic bullet. You know, there's some interesting, very early drugs that may help certain people. But for me, it was all about the service and the, you know, the environment and the people that makes a difference for dementia. And, you know, I decided I wanted to get involved in providing a different type of service. And for me, holidays, you know, are something that, you know, we enjoyed as a family with, you know, my kids and my parents. And you know, I enjoyed hugely. And I felt people living with dementia and their family carers could enjoy them just as much.
We thank you so much because, you know, this idea of the transition is a theme. I don't think I've had one person, a guest, on my podcast that has not been in transition themselves from something like you did to something like this because of something personal in their life. So luckily, though, most of us listening to The Ageless Traveler can travel. I remember being sent, actually hired as a consultant by a famous company that a lot of people know that have to do with older travelers to Australia. And I did note that one of the people on the trip had Alzheimer's and she was with a niece. Her niece had brought her. Just the situation you're talking about. But I was able to ask the woman with Alzheimer's what she would tell my travelers, people that can travel anywhere in the world. And this is what she said, Carol. She said, take the hard trips first. So I absolutely agree. And let's take a little bit of a break because we are going to go to Iceland and we are going to go in October. We're going on a quest to see the Aurora Borealis. It's the best time of year to do that in a quiet season. Let me tell you all about it. Don't you go anywhere. We're going to Iceland. Yes, we are with the incredible leadership of Colette Tours. And this is going to be October 2024. Please come with us. And if you like, if you're a real adventurer like me, we are going to add on Greenland for you. Now, I love spas. I've often visited Iceland's top mineral and hot springs, and I'm thrilled to collaborate with Colette on this tour. It's a quest to see the magical northern lights and luxuriate in one of the iconic springs of the world, the Blue Lagoon. Now, there's volcanic beaches, crater-viewing glaciers, geothermal pools. For all the details, go to agelesstraveler.com, featured trips, you get discounts, and of course, we will be together. That is so important. And I'll speak with you on perks and further discounts if you're groups of 10 or you come from a nonprofit organization. You want to get some donations through traveling with the Ageless Traveler. Never stop traveling. So we are back. We're back with Dr. Carol Sargent. We're talking about her advisory service for folks that have dementia, for folks traveling with people that have dementia, and for caregivers that would like a little bit of a break. And we're about to say goodbye, but before we do that, Carol, let me ask you once again, just tell everybody where they can find your service. And although she is British and she's in London, this is for everybody anywhere in the world. So tell us a little bit about where we can find your travel services.
So you can find more on our website, which is sargentgroup.consulting, and you can fill out our form to give us an idea of where you want to go and book some time to speak to us. And as you've said, just because we're in the UK doesn't mean that we can't give advice to people anywhere in the world.
Absolutely. Well, we've come to the end of our discussion, and I thank you so much for listening. And you can see the show notes on agelesstraveler.com for our resources, all of which were mentioned on the show. Now, join our Facebook salon, ask our guests and experts questions by voicemail on our fan list page. You'll see that in the show notes as well. And of course, Carol will be on our YouTube channel coming right up with her personal story. Yeah, and you'll love our next episode when we talk to Joy Laverty, author of Who Will Take Care of Me When I'm Old? Now, this is the first time that I have been able to take all of our Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth about Aging experts, and bring them here to discuss travel as we get older. And this is Adrienne Berg for The Ageless Traveler, here to ensure that you never stop traveling.